Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to a Monday edition of What's On Your Mind. Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Hinnon. We're brought to you today by the North Dakota Petroleum Council, North Dakota Oil CAM, 81,000 jobs, $43 billion in economic impact. Check it out at NorthDakotaOilCAM.com. Todd, the radio god Mitchell, is here. Is the convertible out? I know it was a little windy this weekend, but...
The convertible was out for a little while. It's getting a little... A few fine-tuning touches, so we're all ready for summer, but it is out. That's been another official way of knowing spring is around the corner.
Weird weekend in that it was, the temp was nice, but the wind almost wrecked it, you know? Didn't almost
I know.
It. Pretty much did wreck it. It was a windy one, but the temp is nice. You can feel a little spring in the air. And our daughter and I, our youngest, my wife and our middle daughter, middle child, are at just on their way back from a choir trip out to Colorado. They went to Denver, Colorado Springs, and so I was Mr. Mom for the weekend. And I do this every year, even when we're not just us. But we did the Easter eggs. So I have food dye all over my fingers today to prove it.
Look like you've been playing with Smurfs again, huh?
We're ready for Holy Week in the hen house, that's for sure. We're ready to go. So the eggs have been colored, and we're raring to go. So that was fun. And, of course, the University of North Dakota comes out victorious after hosting the NCAA West Regional, which was fantastic news. And are headed to the Frozen Four in Boston in about 10 days, and they will play... why is this game? Boston University.
Yeah.
Nebraska Omaha plays Princeton, and so this should be a dandy. I'm guessing. I don't know. You never know. Anything could happen. But I'm thinking the North Dakota's going to win that game, that first one. Nebraska Omaha's going to win that game. You're going to have two NCHC teams to face off for the national title.
How about that?
Yeah. So I just feel it in my bones. I think it's their year. It is their year. So I think they'll win that eighth national title. We'll have to wait and see what happens. So. Should be fantastic. On the program today, Ron Ness will join us from the North Dakota Petroleum Council. We'll chat with Ron in just a moment. He's going to join us a little bit early. Ron joins us a couple of times a month and takes your calls, questions, comments about the oil and gas production in North Dakota. And there is just so much going on, not only a legislative session dealing with a lot of things, but obviously the rig count dropping because of the oil price and, all kinds of issues related to the transport of crude on rail and getting more pipelines in, and there's just a lot happening, which is not unusual. So we'll talk about that as well today on the program. And one of our listeners, you may remember, I don't know, a week or so ago, called and said, "Hey, I really want to have you guys get Ralph Peters on the show." Ralph Peters is a Fox News analyst, lieutenant colonel retired, and one of the great military analysts out there. And of course, so much is happening. We're close to a deal supposedly with Iran. That's heating up. We have Saudi Arabia and action against Yemen. We have that recent very bizarre call for violence against members of the United States military Air Force stationed in Minot by ISIS. We're going to ask him about that. He recently came out with a comment that said in his mind, the Obama administration is just flat out anti-military. They're against the troops. So we're going to talk with him a little bit about what's led him to that point. That and again, when someone with that stature says that, it isn't like it's a political bomb thrower saying it's just someone that is doing the military analysis on it. So he said, and it wasn't even his words were the administration has disdain for the military. Disdain. So Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters will be here today on the program. And a lot of stories we're following. One about a brutal attack on someone celebrating the North Dakota hockey win Saturday up in Grand Forks and air flighted out for reconstructive surgery and in very critical condition. We'll get the latest on that for you on the program, along with a couple other things, including a story that really has me ticked off. It's just one of those things where you scratch your head and you say, really? I mean, is this the most important thing you have? Young man with Down syndrome that has been wearing his mom-made varsity letter jacket to school every day for how long? Now the principal says you can't wear it anymore because you play on the special needs team and you're not on the varsity team, so you can't wear the varsity team jacket. Are you kidding me? Seriously? So we'll get you details on that and a few other stories we're following today on the program as well. So yeah, I heard you laugh, Todd. I'm with you. Now some people are saying, wait a minute here. You can't, sort of waters down the varsity jacket. Come on, give me a
break. You know how we solve that? Give everybody a letter jacket. Make everybody wear, or not make, but I mean, you know, if everybody walked in with a letter jacket, they're not going to say, oh, you got to take it off, you got to take it off. They'd roll over and say, oh, all right.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I know.
Anyway, it's Ron like, Nessel,
really,
join us.
The biggest battle we got to fight is that battle, then I'd say life isn't too bad. First world problems, right?
We had some demonstrators, evidently, that didn't like the Shrine Circus, and I know, it's making the rounds. The circus is, it's that time of year, right? But some demonstrators upset about the use of animals in the Shrine Circus. We're going to deal with that issue as well today on the program, so stay tuned for all that. As I mentioned, Ron Nessel joins us here in a few moments, who is the president of the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Coming up in about 45 minutes, there will be a Senate hearing. In fact, I said earlier, I think with Phil Parker, that it was a House hearing. It's actually a Senate hearing, meant to say. The formula change. By formula, I'm talking about the amount of dollars in the oil tax that come into North Dakota that is allocated out right now, 75-25 in favor of state government and 25% into the areas where it actually is produced, okay? And there was a push to flip that to 60 in favor of oil and gas producing areas and 40 for the state. Basically, keep the dollars there, let them go to work, use it for housing infrastructure, use it for county roads and those things, for example, right? Well, that was tracking along pretty good, and then the price of oil obviously dropped. And so the formula was barely tweaked in the House. It was tweaked to 30% from the 25 for the oil and gas areas. And that particular bill is being heard in the Senate at 10 this morning. So that's one of the things we're going to chat about with Ron Nessel, the North Dakota Petroleum Council, is here with us now. Ron, welcome to the program. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Scott. Nice March Monday we have here.
It is indeed. A lot going on, and I know you'll be headed up, if you aren't already, up at the Capitol for hearings today. I want to start on this formula change, because obviously the price of oil dropping has changed pretty much everything, right? I mean, so that's understandable. But I've heard from a number of folks I know that will be testifying today as well to say, well, okay, we still need to build roads. We still need to get gravel roads so you can move and service these rigs around, right? And the wells. We still need to get infrastructure in place for housing. We got a lot to do, so the needs are still there. Where are you at as far as the Petroleum Council is concerned on the formula change? Where should it be now?
Well, Scott, as you had discussed it, the big thing I still think, let's not forget about the surge bill, because I think that has proven extremely valuable now. And in addition to the fact that we've got a lot of people that we can put to work now, I think the surge bill has become a jobs bill at the right time, because now is the time to build that infrastructure. And the formula bill was, 25% of the gross production tax comes back to the county, cities, and townships. As you said, they moved that up 5%, which I think was a good step. And just to put that in perspective, what that means out there, if you're an oil operator today and you want to move a drilling rig, you have to pay a $30,000 non-refundable fee to move that drilling rig in some of these counties. Well, those costs essentially become game changers for companies at these economics. At $90 or $100 in oil, a barrel, you could stomach a lot of those costs. But these are the type of costs that industry is also incurring out there during the road restriction season. And that's essentially just due to the fact that we need to get these roads upgraded and upgraded to a level that can handle the equipment, and you don't have to have those severe fees and restrictions on the weight during the spring season. So we're going to be in there this morning advocating to at least ensure that we keep the 30%. understand that the surge money was kind of to get people caught up from the past. Now this is about the future, where at least we're moving in the right direction. And I think that the message has to be, you know, we have to continue to look forward as we see the drilling rig count now below 100 and likely to fall further. Now's the time to make these investments and hope for the long term.
Obviously, significantly different than what was once envisioned. If the price would go back up, would you anticipate that conversation being restarted to go back to some of the original plan? Or do you, in other words, what there was talk of 60-40, right? 60 in favor of the oil areas and 40 for the state at one point. And now you're talking about 30-70. Obviously, it's changed significantly. It's the same thing the state's impacted as well. But have you hold that thought. We'll take a break, come back, and pick up on this and other issues with Ron Ness, North Dakota Petroleum Council, after a short timeout. Don't go away.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Scott Hillen here to tell you about my pals at S&S Motors in Watford City. I bought a great truck, got a great deal, you can too. They have clearance pricing every day at S&S Motors Watford City. Internet specials every day at snsmotorsinc.com. Call Brent or Tim, they'll take care of you. Pre-owned 4x4, great deals. New Fords and Chevys too, and they'll bring it to you. Full service shop with four techs that can handle any and all of your repairs and vehicle maintenance. Just call Sonia, 701-444-2341. Online, snsmotorsinc.com. S&S Motors Watford City.
First International Bank and Trust knows that dreams make life worth living. So let's dream. Let's worry less about money. Let's have more moments being in the moment. Let's live first. With free checking and convenient online and mobile banking, you can focus on things that money can't buy.
Happy birthday!
Open an account today at livefirstmobile.com. Member FDIC.
Watford City. We're not the same. We're better. We're building, rearranging, and making room to improve the lives of our growing community. Today, we're sushi bars, fine dining, movie theaters, superior hotels, shopping centers, Main Street business, and small town service. We're water parks, play parks, walking paths, a state-of-the-art wellness center, and an up-and-coming community event center equipped for banquets, meetings, sports, special events, and much more. We're Watford City. We're kids first. Parks and rec programming, quality education, school and hospital expansions, and a superior daycare center. We're new jobs, new housing developments, new ideas, and new people coming home. We're what the buzz is all about, and we're open for business. Come see for yourself. Watford City. We're not the same. We're better.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Past the hour, it is What's on Your Mind, Monday edition of the program. Telephone number 701-258-0550, 701-258-0550, 800-228-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. You can also send us a note on Facebook if you have a question there, or Todd loves your texts with questions as well. You can't call him, but you can text him. And tell them your number again, Tom. I never...
701-226-8255. 8503. Now, if you text me on a Sunday, you want to get into an argument, I may or may not be able to participate in the argument. 701-226-8503. Hey, you never. Sometimes people just get fired up. It happens.
Yeah, showtimes only, preferably. Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council is here. So just to finish on this formula thing, again, Senator Ray Holmberg will have a hearing coming up at 10 o'clock today on the formula change, and it is coming over from the House as a change of an increase of 5% from what was originally going to be 60-40 in favor of the oil counties. And I guess simple question is, what if the price goes back up, Ron?
Well, I think we all certainly there are going to be a lot of discussions if the price goes back up, but I don't think anybody around this building or in the industry anticipates a price going back up to the levels that are going to stimulate activity occurring again here certainly potentially throughout the rest of 2015, but we hope we're wrong. I think the discussion, Scott, on the formula bill is that is it one in $5 or one in $4? And that's probably a simpler way to put this. So we're still pretty close to the one in $5 with the change that made a little bit of an increase in how that money gets dispersed amongst those groups. But essentially what we were seeking was a one in $4 out of that first 5%. So we will see what happens today. And I assume there's going to be a lot of folks from the counties here, and they've got a lot of support on this issue.
But it sounds like the Petroleum Council is okay with as it came out of the House right now. This is the number that's been proposed is the one you're comfortable with?
We are certainly with the counties trying to maintain that number for sure.
Got it. Because what I'm hearing from some of the folks in the oil countries is say, well, okay, the surge was great, but as you said, that got us caught up. And number one, it's going to go to pavement, right? So it's going to the major thoroughfares and the paved roads. What they were hoping for in the formula change is more dollars for county infrastructure, which is vitally important to the industry, obviously in the gravel roads, but also housing infrastructure, because many of the areas those needs are going to remain regardless of the level of activity. Is that a fair argument on their part? I mean, strong enough argument to get any change off that 70-30, do you think?
It is, Scott, but I think what often gets lost in this discussion is that we have essentially seen, over nearly $5 billion of oil tax revenues disappear here over the past 4 months. And that has changed a lot of the issues that are going forward. In addition to that, we've seen, nearly half of our drilling rigs drop. So that has a multiplier effect on the sales tax and the income tax and all of the revenues generated for the state. So, there gets to be 147 legislators up here all with opinions. And I think that from the county standpoint, we have to recognize that we need to try and get a number that's increasing amount. And as price goes up, we will benefit from that. But you got to be realistic in how this is going to shake out in the next 20 days or so as well.
You mentioned a while ago the rig count number, which is obviously below 100, and it's the first time it's been below 100 since 2010. I think I also heard you say it's going to go lower. What do you anticipate that rig count is going to settle at?
Well, my number was 90 to 95 throughout this winter, but I think we're gonna go lower now, and we got to 197 much faster, or 97 much faster than I thought we were gonna get there, and barring some type of recovery, you're now into the spring road restriction season. So lots of things that are hampering the ability of the oil producer to get a return on their dollars. In addition to, the inability to get pipelines to the right markets. We're seeing some great pipeline projects come through the system, by the way. I don't know if you've talked to the Dakota Access people, but, essentially, I think it's 450,000 barrels a day of oil that would go towards the Patoka, Illinois market. Could be done by the end of 2016. That means five less trains a day. When you multiply those five trains by 104 rail cars each, think about how many less rail cars each day. And something I certainly hope our friends in Minnesota can grasp is they have held up the Sandpiper pipeline for now another year. So that's how you get better access and better markets and better pricing is get that oil in the pipeline. It's safer. It's more reliable. It moves that oil every day. It gets it to markets that we need. So That's a critical aspect as we move forward.
I was chatting with a well-known business in Williston that has had significant increases in its sales because of oil and gas impact. They're not in the business, but they obviously take care of the industry like and our impact. And I said, "How's business?" And he said, "Well, it's a little slower." And he almost sounded like he was crying a river. And I said, "Okay, well, help me understand how much slower." And he said, "Well, we're off of last year a little bit." And I said, "Well, how was last year?" And he said, "Really good." So I said, "Well, how about the year before?" "Well, yeah. I mean," so he said, when it all got said and done, he said, "Look, it slowed down to a manageable pace, but it's nowhere near what it was even in 2005, 2006. Do you think that's, the norm, that we were just on this torrid drinking from a fire hose pace, and obviously it slowed down and slowed down quick, so it seems like, wow, what happened? But really, we're actually getting down to, quote unquote, a norm."
Well, I don't think it is a norm, Scott, because what you've done is you've concentrated all of the 97 rigs we have in a very, very small area, which is going to continue to be busy, and that's, that's Watford City, that's Williston. But as you look out towards the as you move out from the sweet spot of the Williston Basin out into those other areas, I think you're going to see a vastly different story. And I think that's that means a lot of those contractors, a lot of those employees, a lot of those secondary businesses out there are going to be impacted by that drilling rig count concentrated in those areas. And as you saw, Halliburton announced that they're going to, consolidate their Minot operation back into their Williston and Dickinson operation. Those are the concerns that I would have as we look at how this is shaking out. So, yeah, is there still a lot of activity out there? Absolutely. We're still producing 1.2 million barrels of oil today. But the rigs are what really drives that spinning dollar throughout our economy, because that's the new money coming in and in all of those different areas. You go up to Crosby and you go even over to Stanley now and down to Belfield. That's quite a ways to find a drilling rig from those communities. And that means those people aren't in there buying gas. They're not buying lunch. They're not doing this or that. So I think that tumbling effect is a concern that I have, because we need to maintain those jobs and those people that we have here. And that rig count hopefully will stabilize.
Absolutely. Everybody wanting that for sure. And when we come back, I'm curious what you think it'll take to stabilize that. The number did the oil price obviously jump up a little bit last week, but what kind of a number is it going to take? We'll talk with Ron Ness about that. One more segment with him when we come back on What's on Your Mind. Questions or comments, welcome to at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. This is What's on Your Mind. Don't touch that dial.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The Freeze-Dry Guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663. or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dried guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
Top of the hour, brought to you in part today by our friends at MyPillow. 800-506-9028 is that special number for our listeners. 800-506-9028, or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Scott and get yourself a two-for-one deal. Can't beat that. On the National Sleep Foundation's official pillow, celebrating their 10th anniversary. Minnesota made, by the way. Some things they do okay in Minnesota. Pillows is one. Taking trains, not so much. Getting pipelines built, not so much. Pillows, okay. 800-506-9028. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. Chat with Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council here today on the program. Before the break, you mentioned something about ideally it would be nice to get the rig count to stabilize. What would stabilize it? What are we going to get a price up to a particular level, you think, or?
Well, I do. I think that most of the producers are essentially planning that 15 is going to be flat or at this level or slightly increased, right? And really where we need to get that oil price in the Bakken to spread out those rigs again and make those other areas economic is up in that $65 to $75 area. Then we have to make this play economic in those areas. And by that, we have to, of course, get more efficient. We have to be able to lower those costs, which things like this formula bill are critically important to that producer to get a return at $75 rather than $90. We have to be able to get more pipelines in the ground. We still have, at the higher oil tax prices, we still have what's considered the second highest oil tax in the lower 48 on those new barrels. All of those factors play into that high cost of, the housing issue, and everything plays into the cost of doing business in the Bakken versus the cost of doing business elsewhere. So when that price recovers, where is the producer going to put their investment dollar back into the ground? It's going to be in the Eagle Ford and the Permian and the Scoop in Oklahoma and the Niobrara in Colorado and the Utica. All of those things then come into play. At this point, I think all of these oil plays are seeing a similar type of decline, and that's going to happen. But here we have the discount on our oil price. We have the other cost factors that are starting to creep up on us in North Dakota. We've added a tremendous amount of regulations over the past 3 years, some of them very necessary. Others were just continuing to add on additional costs without an incremental value to health, safety, or the environment. So we've got some good bills in the legislature here, Scott, in terms of pipelines and working with landowners. One of the things I saw in the newspaper this morning that was kind of interesting was that I've always heard about all of the homes in the northeastern part of the United States use home heating oil. And now they've got the largest natural gas resource in North America, in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. And yet they're having trouble getting natural gas pipelines into New Hampshire, Maine, and New York in order to bring those people natural gas, which of course would be a substantial reduction. And in terms of, can imagine having a home heating fuel tank in your basement and the heating fuel guy coming, filling that up, but the people won't let the pipelines now across across those states, those parcels of land to get there. So this Keystone Pipeline thing has really caused a stir, and it's been exasperated by 7 years of, I think, just additional environmental activism, and it's creating problems across this country that are going to have long-term supply impacts on our ability to get affordable energy to our homes and to our vehicles and those gas stations as well.
There's a story out that made headlines over the weekend that North Dakota lost its distinction as having the lowest jobless rate in the country. I don't know how long we've had that, but it's been a long time. What's interesting about it is that, you know, Nebraska's got us by, 2.7% for them, and we're at 2.9%. So, I mean, the headline is, you know, God darn it, how'd we lose? On the other hand, you look at it and say, well, you're that close. But I mean, we're going to have more of that as long as the rate count remains where it's at. The unemployment rate is going to go up. That's just a fact, is it not?
Well, it is, and I think that reality has set in at the Capitol that, I don't think there's an ag producer out there that feels that 2015 is going to be a bullish year for them, hoping to maintain. Certainly the cattle industry is doing well, but you essentially have ag and energy on a flat or downward trend right now. So I think there's going to be some economic shifts in kind of the mindset of what we anticipate as far as our, you know, we've had a surging economy, and you're right. And when you start thinking back to $9 billion of oil tax revenue, which was projected for this upcoming biennium, it's almost surreal when you think our budget wasn't even, I think it was $4.5 billion back in 2006 or 7. So a little trimming and tightening of the belt is okay, but it's the jobs issue and the people that have really extended their business opportunities and gone out on a limb a little bit and leveraged themselves like many of our oil operators have. There's going to be some trouble in the waters.
I want to ask you about another piece of legislation at the state legislature that you have mentioned before. Just get an update on where it's at. 2271, the Ombudsman Bill. Explain the impetus behind it. I know that there's a number of groups that are in a coalition pushing this thing through, but where are we at with it?
The Ombudsman Bill is essentially a bill that we worked on with the Northwest Landowners Groups and other landowner groups for over a year. And what it does, it's going to put up to two people under the Department of Agriculture, and Commissioner Goring will be managing this program. But it's essentially people out on the ground to assist the landowners with challenges that they have with pipelines and maybe erosion issues that have occurred. And they need some type of a conduit out there to come and look at these pipelines and assist them on maybe what type of seed mixes are best for my land versus the seed mix on my neighbor's land. What should my expectations be in terms of, was this erosion that was caused by this pipeline? If yes, can you help me get a hold of that pipeline company and get in here? And it's a two-year pilot project. We think that we can take care of a lot of these frustrated landowner issues with this bill. And it was something that we have worked with the landowners on. And one of the things that I heard loud and clearly from them is, we don't need a bunch of new regulations. What we need is somebody out there to assist us to just, you know, take the North Dakota approach to this. Let's figure it out. Let's get it fixed. And the Ag Commissioner has, jumped up and said he's willing to tackle this. It's moved through the House, moved through the Senate. It's in the House Appropriations right now. I think they have an agreement with the Ag Department, and we're hoping to see that bill passed over the next 10 days. It has an emergency clause on it, so that would mean the Ag Department can go ahead and move forward with this and hopefully get people on the ground this spring while a lot of these issues are going to play out. And as farmers start getting out in their fields again and they start seeing that, oh, maybe there was something occurred here, I've got someone now to call. And I think it's going to be a great piece of legislation and something that's a temporary process. It can help landowners. It can help eliminate some of that fatigue and some of that weariness out there about letting these pipelines, because if we're going to get our flaring reduced, we've got to get pipelines in the ground. If we're going to have more trucks off the road and safer roads, we've got to get more pipelines in the ground. So pipelines are really the key. And also it's the key to maintaining these roads, is getting more trucks off the road helps your roads maintain the improvements that they get. So it's a big piece of legislation, and Hope you'll do a little jump and shout on it when it gets final passage and signage by the governor.
Happy to do it. It's a great, great idea. Nice to see folks working together. And like you say, is this typical North Dakota? All right. We got some concern from landlords and folks that want to be helpful, right? Things happen. So just a real proactive way of getting it done. I love it. Question for you, from a listener. Can you ask Ron how safe lease operator pumper jobs are with this slowdown?
Well, the pumper jobs are the lease operators are the people that go out and tend to that oil well on the landscape every day. That oil well and each of those wells on a pad is like a storefront or a business unit. So, just like a store downtown, it needs somebody to go out there and open the doors and check on things and watch the monitors and the gauges. They're going to continue to employ people who are maintaining these wells as we go forward. And you'll see that. If you look at the jobs open today, you see that there's truck driving jobs, that there's lease operator jobs. Those are the types of jobs that are going to continue because every day you've got to produce that oil. And let's see, it's about 10 o'clock, Scott, so we've produced probably about 400,000 barrels of oil already this morning. We've moved about 400,000 gallons of salt water, and we've processed over half a million BCF of gas. So there's a lot that happens every day, and that's every single day we harvest. So those lease operators and those truck drivers are still going to be needed. It's a great job to get cross-trained for out there. And, of course, we've had farmers and ranchers for generations out in the field that have had those jobs to kind of supplement their farm income. It's a great opportunity. So when the operators open up these jobs, those are good jobs to grab because they're going to be here for the long haul.
All right. There's every day, it seems, another story about somebody with a solution on what needs to be done regarding transport of crude by rail. Story today that the Forum News Service is repurposing from NPR that says North Dakota environmentalists want oil companies to reduce volatile gases in Bakken crude, and talking again about Flashpoint. What about the this constant push to do something different that's being done with the crude by rail? What do you say?
Well, I everybody's got an opinion on this, and I think that the opinion of many is to continue to focus on the commodity, not on the rail. And I encourage anybody to go back and look at their most recent crude by rail accidents, derailments, and what was the cause of them. And did the crude oil cause any of those derailments? No, it did not. Yes, it's flammable liquid. Yes, it's gonna burn. We know that. That's why they want it on those coastal refineries, because what they're getting today is coming from Africa or the Middle East. So, we have to, the Industrial Commission, we took significant steps in trying to, reduce the vapor pressure. The federal government has chosen not to do that. It tells you that how far ahead North Dakota may or may not be in terms of whether it's the right move or not. But they recognize that hazardous materials move across this country every day, every hour of every day. And we have to try and ensure that we're maintaining these tracks, that the railroads are focusing on safety as well as what we're doing here on the commodity side. But the Bakken is not alone in terms of being a flammable liquid. There were a couple of Canadian rail accidents earlier this winter. Those trains also, once you have a train wreck, you get all that steel mashing together, you're going to have a spark, and you're going to have a flammable liquid, whether it's Bakken crude oil or whether it's Canadian oil sands crude oil, it's going to burn. And
what
North Dakota did is to try and take some of that volatility off of the top. But you do that to some extent, and you just have to have you have to move other trains with other liquids in that. So not all that easy. But I'm going to get down to that oil formula hearing, Scott. Thanks.
I know you do. We're out of time. Thank you, Ron. Ron Ness with North Dakota Petroleum Council with us a couple times a month on Mondays on What's on Your Mind. More coming up after this timeout. Don't go away.
Northwest Landowners Association in North Dakota was established to help maintain a balance between resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com to view our mission and get information on membership. The Northwest Landowners Association strives to create a network of information, support, education, promote property rights issues to ensure a balanced and fair development of our resources. To accomplish this, we bring together a network of property owners, operators, and residents to share and discuss information to ensure the resources are developed in a responsible manner. Go to nwlandowners.com.
Did you know MyPillow is the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation? It has a patented interlocking fill and adjusts to any sleep position. MyPillow stays cool, so there's no tossing and turning. They are machine washable and dryable, just like your favorite pair of blue jeans, and they are non-allergenic. MyPillow will not go flat. There is a 10-year warranty and a 60-night money-back guarantee, less shipping and handling. Get the pillow Scott sleeps on. Right now, MyPillow is offering 2-for-1 pillows. That is a savings of 50% off when you call 800-506-9028. That's 800-506-9028. Or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code SCOTT. Once again, that is a savings of 50% off when you call 800-506-9028. 800-506-9028. Or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code SCOTT.
Most people know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
You know, Heedles has it. From windshields to wiper blades to, you know, just everything you need from a vehicle. They've got it. And folks know that, right? They know that about Heedles. They just say, if I need it, I go to Heedles and I get it. And for decades, I mean, over 100 years now, they've been doing this. And but Heedles has something else. I think you ought to know that. Heedles has the people. And folks like Kevin Lawson there in Minot, as a matter of fact. And he has been at that location. In that building, and before it was Heedles, it was Manson's, but that building for 30 years later this summer. And his dad was a mechanic growing up, online the mechanic, had his own shop, gas station, so he's been a car guy. He ran sprint cars back in the late 60s and early 70s. Kevin was at his first race when he was about 6 months old. How about that?
Wow.
Isn't that cool? Built his first motor.
That's awesome.
Built his first motor when he was 15 years old.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly right. And 289 Studebaker, as a matter of fact. So
nice.
Pretty darn cool. His first car, though, was a 64 Fairlane, the one he actually got to drive, you know, two-door. still wishes he had that back. But these are the kind of folks you find. So they love cars, they love working on cars, and they love taking care of people at Edol's and finding the parts that that you need. So they can do it. They got a full machine shop there at the Minot location, do all the engine work, cranks, blocks, pistons, heads, balancing, shaft work. I mean, they do it. They have delivery trucks going wherever you need them, whenever you need them, and get you the part, get you it fast. I mean, they're out to Lignite and Stanley and Newtown and the Towner, and they go everywhere. So pretty amazing, really is. Parts professionals, right there, ASE certified. So if you stop at the Minot location of Edol's, say hi to Kevin Lawson and ask him about that Studebaker. Imagine that, pretty cool. All right, 9 before the top of the hour, email from a listener we didn't get to for Ron, but said, so smart here, no different than anybody else, I guess, not so. All depends on the price of oil, just like the 70s and the early 80s. And as long as there's an OPEC, this will continue. We need to build refineries and keep and export refined oil. A couple things I'd say in response to that. I think it is a different time. I mean, if you talk to people in the industry, they'll tell you that, you know, this is going to be tough. You can't have the price of oil do what it's done and not have impacts. And there, we're seeing impacts. Here's an example of one of those impacts from a different listener. Todd got this email Friday. I thought I'd let you know after nearly 9 years in beautiful North Dakota, it's coming up on our time to leave. Long story short, about 6 weeks ago, the hubby and I really felt like it was time to go back home to Illinois, of which we've lived away from for almost 20 years now. We started making preparations, talked to a realtor, update the resume. Then 3 weeks later, he got laid off from Baker Hughes, which stinks on the one hand, but it's also confirmation it's our time to go. He looked for another job here for a little more than a month, or a little more than a week. No one that pays what he was making is hiring, and even the lesser-paying jobs wouldn't take him because they said they think he'll just leave as soon as he gets a higher-paying job. So they didn't want to bother. When we got out of the Air Force in 2011, in order to stay here, we had to buy a house at a time when they cost more than they should. So even if we hadn't realized we needed to go back to Illinois, we wouldn't be able to afford to stay here anymore. I feel the bubble has burst. People are leaving Minot in droves, unable to find the work that pays their bills now that so many layoffs are happening. I'm sure you read that Halliburton here in Minot is closing. Did you know there are multiple apartment buildings that Halliburton has subsidized solely for their workers here? They're going to be empty soon. And Halliburton bought out Baker Hughes to be finalized this summer, so chances are they'll be leaving soon, too. Since my husband couldn't find work here even to sustain us until we got hired in Illinois, I'm a lunch lady because he works with my kids' schedules. He left last week for Illinois to try and find employment there. Well, I'll stay back with the kids and get the house ready to sell, hopefully by the week of Easter. We probably won't leave until school's out. Just thought I'd give you a personal story on how the oil prices are affecting real people. If we hadn't already made the decision to move, we'd be forced to anyway. Which makes me sad, she says, because I've loved North Dakota since we moved here nearly a decade ago, and I'll be sad to say goodbye. You know, it's interesting about that couple of things. One, an Air Force family, obviously, staying here after because there was employment here. That's great. But from Illinois, and obviously even before the oil thing, decided Illinois was going to be where they would ultimately return to. There was some of that going on before the oil price dropped, right? The economies in other parts of the country were coming back. One of the reasons, we've had the lowest unemployment rate is certainly oil, but it's also because we've had a growing economy where other states have not. And so a lot of folks have come here for those particular positions. Now we had a rough patch with the price of oil and the ag economy, I'd add into that as well. And all I would say is, again, a rough patch versus what? Okay, in other words, it's going to be down until the price of oil comes back to stabilize at least the rig count drop. Things are going to get a little tough. But you got to keep it in perspective. It's still unbelievable. As Ron Ness just said, they were projecting $9 billion in oil and gas revenue for the state of North Dakota when the entire state budget was $4 billion, less than 10 years ago. Wrap your mind around that. One commodity was going to give them $9 billion, and that was darn near double their entire budget less than 10 years ago.
There's no such thing as a utopian society where the numbers always go exactly where you want them to go.
Precisely.
99% of people are employed. There's always 1% who aren't then, or whatever the number is.
To go back to the other fellow, the first comment about how this will always happen with OPEC, that's the beautiful thing. That's what a lot of folks are saying. The fact that the North Dakota was able to dial it back as quick as it did and react to the price is a good thing. It means it's being nimble, and the industry did that and did it well. So when you have North Dakota, Texas, largely private-owned lands, and the level of development going on, that's a good thing. That
and we were smart with the money we made while we made all that money, too.
And as the price ebbs and flows, it gets a little better. They get a little more efficient. So the sky is not falling, without question. But it's not going to be what it's been the last 4 or 5 years. And that really wasn't sustainable anyway. More coming up.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
A word about agriculture from your friends at the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Agriculture is an important industry in North Dakota, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is important to agriculture. See, Farm Bureau is dedicated to enhancing economic opportunities for their members. They're not just about farming and ranching. Farm Bureau has more than 27,000 members across the state. Folks just like you that are concerned about issues that matter, like our schools, our roads, our safety, and, of course, economic progress. At the North Dakota Farm Bureau, they provide a strong voice on issues that matter to all North Dakota citizens. Farm Bureau also provides their members with a variety of savings opportunities on everything from new and used vehicles to motels and home appliances. We're all in this together, and North Dakota Farm Bureau wants to be there to make sure our economy and agriculture remain strong for generations to come. Find out more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer you by going online to ndfb.org. That's ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. That's the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
Hello, Rose Holmberg here. If you know anyone who suffers from any kind of arthritis pain, I have suffered with severe rheumatoid arthritis for over 45 years. That is until this summer when I was told about 90 for Life and a secret sauce. You too can experience a life free of this pain. I work from home helping others by sharing with them this information that will give you hope and change your life. Call right now, 763-291-5052. Again, call 763-291-5052.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Want to listen to your favorite GCN hosts and programs without a radio signal or internet? Just call 605-562-4213. Get instant access to all GCN live feeds right on your phone, anywhere you want, anytime you want. 605-562-4213. It's our way of ensuring everyone has the opportunity to enjoy GCN. 605-562-4213. The future of talk radio. GCN.
It's happening again. The feds are trying to ban your freedom to own body armor. In January, a newly introduced bill, H.R. 378, will take away your right to buy level 3 and higher body armor. KD Armor offers the most affordable level 3 body armor packages on the market today. Protect yourself. Buy your body armor now before it's too late. Go to KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free...